This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 9:37 is the time right now. It's a Wednesday morning. And so, at this time of the morning, we dig deep, we open the doors to the dungeons. And we bring out the whips, and we also hear the screams, because it's time for the S&M Show! Okay, every Wednesday morning, it's me, Julian Ng. Chuang's not here today, but Dali, of course, is always with us. Every Wednesday morning, as we look into what's happening in stocks and markets as well. Today, you want to say something, Dali?
No, I just want to say good morning.
Oh, yeah.
Very polite for S&M Show.
There. CIMB is raising 3.55 billion ringgit in probably what is going to be the biggest, share sale exercise. And this private placement exercise was, quote-unquote, well oversubscribed by local and foreign investors. So it's issuing 500 million new shares at about 7 ringgit 10 each to strengthen its capital position. That equals about 6.08% of its enlarged share capital. What have you got to say about that, buddy?
Well, it's been well reported. It's just that I think we could maybe examine the bylines and read between the lines, because this is the bank's first equity fundraising since 2003, I think.
Yeah, a long, long time, actually.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, first of all, very smart move, I think. You're raising funds at the near market highs. That's one thing. I think, secondly, is the tight discount, considering the size of the new share. That are being issued.
Well, I think the other smart move is also the fact that they're going to use the fund in the Indonesian side, and Indonesian rupiah has crashed,
yes,
right? So
yes,
that's a very tactical smart
move. I applaud you for using the politically correct. What's it? Use the funds. I think it's more like to, you know, like when you have a hole and you have to cover, what do you call that?
Okay, that's what I want to find out. What I want to find out more. What do you mean by a hole? Because Indonesia has loan growth has been growing
because
quite strongly.
Because the CIMB, you know, Niaga, which is a 97-98% subsidiary, or not even subsidiary, basically you almost control it fully. It's doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So well that for the last 9 months, it's accounting for about 30%.
Yeah.
You know, and that being the case, but the unfortunate whack down in the rupiah, you know, has debilitating effects, a significant effect on your balance sheet.
Mm. What kind of effects?
In terms of your capital, and your capital deployed, and so on and so forth. You may have to do write downs because of the assets that you hold in Indonesia is in rupiah.
As it is, the rupiah has been down, 22% in the past couple of years.
Yes,
or so.
It's crashed because of emerging markets together with the other.
So if you
country.
Held something that was worth, say, a million ringgit, then it would be 20% or 22% less now.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a hold, though, because from an asset liabilities management in Indonesia itself, in rupiah itself, the ratios would not have changed. But what would have changed is that the...
If you bring it back to ringgit, you see.
If you translate it back to ringgit, then it would represent a book loss, right?
Imagine, I'm not saying this is a bad thing per se. You can't really sometimes hedge everything. Mm-hmm. But... For instance, if you have Indonesia is doing very well and every year it contributes now 30%, next year 35%, but every year the rupiah drops 10%, it's not a good thing. If every year...
It won't drop. I mean, the 10% drop would be supplemented by growth. And as we see, the loan growth in Indonesia is 15-20% a year. So the growth there is hugely strong, very strong.
Yeah.
But what I think it is, and I could be wrong in this, but I genuinely believe that it is a tactical decision, actually.
It is a tactical decision. You must. Because I think you would be well advised. This was only one of your holdings, although it's a significant one. And thankfully, Malaysia was not so-called sold down at the same time.
Yes.
Can you imagine if there was a property bubble, credit bubble, over the next few months, triggered probably by touch China.
Wood. Touch wood.
You know, you can touch all you want, like, okay. You know, and you have the same thing happening not just in Indonesia, but in Thailand, Malaysia, and Singapore even.
No, that's exactly my point. Yeah. You can't be managing capital losses, ups and downs of your assets in your books. You can't be micromanaging those valuations. But that, which is why I think the raising of these
funds, you have to be prepared. You can read this from a mile away, and the thing is that they're smart in the sense that you're raising funds now at a time when tapering, which suddenly becomes not so important an issue, but the market seems to have come to terms with it. But in actual fact, what it's going to mean is that for the next 6 months, 12 months, interest rate will be on an uptrend. It's like how steep the curve is, and it will be much harder to raise funds later on. And in near impossible when if there's a mini bubble bursting, sorry.
Well, if we compare it to the last crash in 2008, none of the Malaysian banks actually raised funds, and none of their capital positions were actually affected.
Because none of our banks
are not sophisticated, advanced
enough to do, you know, those kind of instruments.
What has changed this time?
This time is different. This is all property. Like a credit, private credit, private debt bubble, which we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What about Philippines? Do you think it's going to try and move into Philippines again? I mean, they did that with...
Well, they were skewered in a sense last year. Not their fault. I think it's more like the Philippines' fault.
San Miguel is owned by... it's the Bank of Commerce, right?
Of course, yeah.
And Philippines got very decent population size, so it's the natural place to be for CIMB strategy. And a part of that, the regional and international investors are keen to take up CIMB's shares is that they believe and agree with CIMB's regional growth strategy and the ability to probably also assimilate integrate operations that they acquire.
Thing is, I mean, he hasn't done all that badly the past couple of years. It's got very good track record. Moving out regionally, I mean, Thailand, Indonesia, and so going to Philippines might be the next order of business, the next natural order of business.
One thing to be said that is related to this is the fact that CIMB has always been seen as something, a group that is said to be have close ties to the political echelons of Malaysia, right? And the argument is that CIMB has benefited a lot because Nazeh is the brother of the Prime Minister Najib. But yesterday, there was an article, Najib's writing, in the Malaysian Insider, where he actually talked about Tun Razak, his father's, father's frugality and protection of the nation's resources. And I don't know, you put all this together, it seems to be like hitting at someone else. And the fact that CIMB is also moving their revenue sources outside of Malaysia seems to, they want to try to prove the fact that they can, you know, number one, stand on their own, and number two, make some kind of a ripple effect on the Malaysian side as well.
Yes, yes, and yes.
For once you agree to everything.
But my final word on the fundraising is that you can have another headline for it. It's a bear market strategy.
Do you think so?
Meaning? Oh yes. Oh yes. Of course they're not going to come out and say, oh well, we're preparing ourselves for a possible crash over the next 12 months.
Right.
What do you mean by a bear market strategy?
That I see that they probably see that the markets in Asia and the markets that they're operating in is going to be in for very difficult situation, difficult conditions, probably in the second half of the year.
And therefore they raise.
And therefore you have to do these kind of things at least 6 to 12 months ahead of time.
Interesting. Okay, when we come back after the break, we're going to go into the Not Alex column. Stay tuned for that. This is the S&M Show.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. It is the S&M Show, and ouch. Ooh, David Chu, Julian Ng, and Salvatore Dali. It's now time for Not the Lex column. And today you're looking into Brem Holdings.
Yeah, and then the listeners will be saying, well, you should have featured this 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, what happened was Brem actually hit a 15-year high in late December. You know, after a so-called Get Rich Report came out or something.
Get
like
Rich
that,
Report.
Something like that, right?
Yes. It was trading slightly above 150, and then Nanyang came up with a report stating that its NTA revalued, probably it's like closer to $8 or something, you know.
Well, that analytical report actually did say that the group's net asset per share is actually worth RM8.32, but the stock price was only $1.49. Yeah, so it says there was a 82% discount.
Well, first and foremost, it is a very solid company. It's got reserves of over $300 million. And hence, it jumped from 150 to 170 and then above $2 on decent volume, but not highly speculative volume. And then The Edge followed up with the report, a more detailed report, basically looking at the tracts of land that they have. And true enough, there is more credibility. But first of all, the property companies or property development companies usually trade at a huge discount anyway, because the discount usually is like maximum 50%.
Which is still very high.
Which is still very high discount. But this is quite ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so, and checking around the sources, who are the buyers, basically? And it seems that there are a number of very savvy, high net worth individuals accumulating stakes in the company. So, even though we might be a little late in terms of, like, highlighting the stock, I think this is a stock that could really be a superstar over the next few months, at least.
Well, if you think that, I mean, relating it back to the CIMB news, and if you think that CIMB is undertaking a bear market strategy, then, you know, over the course of the next 6 months or so, you would have to taper down some of those very highly valued property estimates, right? If you're really talking about property valuation, which is really right now up in the air.
Well, if you look at your natural exposure, if you're holding stocks like maybe Marsing or IGM Land, maybe you sell those and you buy this.
But it is
kind of. What I'm saying is that the 8 ringgit valuation may have to be kind of brought down.
Yeah, you can bring down. Even if you bring out another 50%, it's still. You know.
So then you talk about the natural discount to NAV of property sector, then the price could be.
But that applies across the board, you know. I mean, they're still like way under than the average of the discount. The part which is very interesting, if you look at the paid up of the company, they are only 172 million $1 shares.
Oh.
Okay. And the part which is more interesting is the controlling shareholders. Brand Properties, 23%.
Okay.
Mr. Koo, Chai Ka, 14. Then Wawasan Equity, 8.7. And then the next one, Lembaga Tabung Haji, 4. And then it tapers off. So you're talking about less than probably 45%. So there are a lot of shares out there. And if you think of how difficult it is to acquire land banks at fair prices. I don't know why property developers would, like, you know, keep negotiating for tracts of land at, you know, 300, 400, 500 per square feet when you can get them at Brem for less than 50.
Become an activist shareholder in Brem.
Well, it is a prime target for, you know, somebody to blackmail, greenmail. What color is the mail?
Email right now.
Email company. I want to take away your company, basically.
Well, so I think that probably, I mean, I see your point, but that's probably easier said than done, because by the time an approach is being made, you know, the share price would have gone up to such a
but
level.
But you see, this gives anybody who is interested to do something about the company a lot of like cushion, in the sense that I come in, I start accumulating shares, and then I make an offer at say $3 or $3.50, you know, the shareholder may say, you know, no, and then, but by the time you say no, you know, okay, fair enough, then the share would have like still stayed around $3, $4, allowing everybody to be to get out happily in that sense.
Quite interesting out there, isn't it?
No? It's interesting that if you go to the website, you know, this company is under general contracting, property development, and so on. But you go to the website says property, the website is still under construction. It's just ironic.
Well, I think that, you know, that so called Get Rich Nanyang report also did probably have something to do with it, because
huge. And this is one of the you brought up a very good point, David, because we, those of us living and in the English speaking world, think a lot about ourselves in terms of like the English media.
Right.
We think we control the markets, right. But I tell you, the Chinese media controls the share markets in Malaysia.
Actually, the statistics are out. We are only 20% of the market.
Yeah.
80% of ethnic Chinese actually
any kind of Chinese analytical news, you know, news reports or whatever.
Do you know?
Are a lot more effective in Chinese media.
The reason why I say this is because the report actually did say in the report itself, told investors, right, to boldly go out and buy that stock to get rich.
You translate it to Chinese, it's probably got dragons and phoenix
and eternal and, you know, well, for wisdoms
stock, and long, I mean, life. And
look, the stock paid only an interim dividend of 3%, okay, late last year, right? And wow, you get a report that comes out and says, go and buy now.
Like Chinese New Year ang pao.
The last time that happened was with a certain gold company. Geneva or something.
Yeah, some place in
Switzerland. No, I think this is
the real thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So
right.
Says Dali.
You got a song for today. What's your song for today?
Yes. If we mention Nat King Cole, I think, and we ask everybody's favorite Nat King Cole song, it's the like the usual top 10, unforgettable, the very thought of you and all that. And but then they would have missed out on probably a lot of songs that are very, very good, but never get airplay nowadays.
Okay. They never get airplay, period.
Yep. This is my favorite Nat King Cole song.
There will never be another you.
Yeah, right? There will never be another you.
Okay. Don't forget, yeah, every Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning, join us and Salvatore Dali as well for the S&M show. If you want to catch more of him, just pop on over to his blog. It's over at malaysiafinance.blogspot.com. So till next Wednesday, leaving you with Nat King Cole. There will never be another you. Together. Tonight soon will be long ago. And in our moment of parting, this is all I want you to know. There will be many other nights like this. I'll be standing here with someone new, there will be other songs to sing, another fall, another spring, but there will never be another you. There will.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.